The text for our homily this morning is found in the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 through 45. Then Jesus and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right hand or to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord. This Advent season, we've been going through or asking this question of why did Jesus come? And the first week we saw that Jesus came to preach the gospel. And then last week, we looked at the fact that Jesus came to call sinners. And this week, we're going to look at that Jesus came to serve. Now, if you spend even a little bit of time in American culture today, you can see how seductive power can be. Really, power calls us from every direction, is sort of promising us control, security, and maybe even the ability to shape the world the way we want it to be. On the left, it can appear this kind of power that people are seeking on the left in politics, it can appear in ways of trying to control speech or ideas. While on the right, this idea of power can show up in forms of Christian nationalism that try to fuse faith and political authority together. You have different sides, different strategies, but really the same temptation. And that temptation is, if we can get enough power, we can fix everything. We can make this world better, or at least make it into the image we would like it to be in. But then we come to the gospel today, and Jesus gives us a very different vision of power. We see here that James and John come to Jesus with a request that sounds rather surprisingly modern. They say, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." In other words, Jesus, give us importance, give us status, give us power. Now, before we judge them, remember when they asked this in this gospel. Jesus has told them three times, this is the third time already, that in Jerusalem he will be betrayed, condemned, mocked, and killed. And immediately after hearing this from Jesus' lips, James and John ask for these positions of power and honor. Now, it can sound a little tone deaf, maybe even selfish to us, but their request in many ways is deeply human. They believe Jesus is going to be enthroned, not crucified. They want to be part of that victory. They want to know that their sacrifice will matter. In its own way, their request to Jesus shows their faith. They really do believe Jesus will reign, but they misunderstand what Jesus' glory looks like. And that impulse, that idea really lives in all of us. That's because power seduces us by offering a counterfeit sense of significance. It whispers to parents, if you control everything, then everything is going to be safe for your children. To workers, it says, you know, one more title, one more achievement, and you'll finally matter. And to students, it whispers, if you fit in with the right crowd, you'll be important. Power promises control, but it often leaves us anxious. It promises importance, but it leaves us insecure. And Jesus sees this danger in the request of James and John. He knows how easy it is, even for well-meaning people, to believe the way to change the world is by grasping for power. But in the kingdom of God, things are different, because true power comes the way of Jesus. Instead of scolding John and James, Jesus redirects them, and he asks, can you drink the cup I drink? And that is, he's asking, can you walk my path, my suffering, my sacrifice, my self-giving love? And surprisingly, in the text, John and James say, yes, Jesus, we can. But they are still thinking in the terms of rank and authority here. They think that following Jesus means climbing higher or getting more. But Jesus teaches the opposite here. In God's kingdom, he says, whoever wants to become great must be a servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. That is, true power doesn't look like control. True power looks like service. James, and notice in this text that James and John start out by calling Jesus teacher. But then Jesus, when he refers to himself, and not just here in this gospel, but in this text today, he says that he is the Son of Man. And you have to understand who the Son of Man is. In Daniel 7, we get this wonderful picture of the Son of Man who receives all dominion, all authority, and all glory. That's who Jesus is. So if anyone ever had the right to wield this overwhelming power, it was Jesus. And yet, he says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You see, Jesus doesn't deny his power. He just redefines it. He has all authority, but he uses it to bless others, not to dominate. He has the power to save himself, but he chooses to save others. And this isn't weakness on the part of Christ. This isn't passivity on his part. This is really a picture of the power of sacrificial love. James and John seek status, but Jesus shows that greatness is found in humility. They want recognition, but Jesus shows that significance comes through service. And maybe the clearest picture of this in all of Scripture is found in John 13. You may recall this. On the night before the cross, when Jesus could have exercised or asserted his divine authority, he gets up from the supper table. He wraps a towel around his waist. He kneels down and he begins to wash his disciples' feet. That is, the one who holds all dominion takes the posture of the lowest servant. That is, in essence, of a slave. To Jesus, this is what power looks like. Not the power to be served, but the power to serve others. And this is the kind of power that can heal our families, our friendships, our churches, and our communities. And this is the power that only Jesus can bring. So why did Jesus come? Not to gain power, but to give himself. Not to demand service, but to serve. Not to take up a throne first, but to take up a cross. And if we bear his name, friends, if we call him Lord, then our lives must look like him. In a world obsessed with power, Jesus calls us to love. In a world hungry for status, Jesus calls us to serve. In a world that thinks greatness means being above others, Jesus says to go low. In humbleness and humility, to live out life in service to others. And that is because Jesus came to be served, not to serve. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, free us from the temptation of power and teach us the way of humble service. Shape our hearts to follow you and help us to serve others as you've served us. In your name we pray. Amen.